This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. It is nearing the midpoint of February. We're a little closer to the spring equinox than we are to the winter solstice, which is pretty neat. We're still not close to having equal day and night length, but it means that biological activity is probably being stimulated by having more sunshine. I'll ask you that, Michaela Rice, the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park. Are things picking up out there in the natural world?
Well, I can say we are in baby season as, underground baby bears should be being born, size of a small little potato growing underground. And so, yeah, we can count ourselves in baby season, which means it's spring. So I'm, that's the mentality I'm trying to take to get me through the rest of our winter season, our snow season.
Well, it has become wintry for both now finally enough snow to call it winter. Certainly the cold was there in January and the cold's continuing in February. So this may be stretched out a bit like into April. But as long as there's insulation and, you know, the protection of the parents, you mentioned other critters that may be getting ready to either mate or conceive
eggs. Yeah. Thinking of our bald eagles, that would be pairing up and preparing to, lay eggs, as well as the great horned owls. Many of you maybe heard some deep hoots in January and so far this month. So they're another bird that's laying their eggs this month. Great horned owls are such specific predators. They need training. They need time with their parents, and that's why they're born so early in the year, so that they can be with their parents for as long as possible before their first winter, and then before they get kicked out to go out on their own.
Uh-huh. So, and these are a native owl that both nests here and overwinters.
That would be correct.
Okay.
Yep.
As opposed to the fun visitation we've had in this year, this winter of eruption. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing references now to how impressive the eruption was like 20 years ago. The numbers were huge. This year is the next best one since then. And we've had visitors from all over the world. You got to be interviewed by Minnesota Public Radio about the phenomena. What is your takeaway so far? Are we seeing something that we're not going to see again for a very long time, or could this become more common?
That I do not know at all. I know that this year we have had visitors from the boreal and tundra. I'll kind of explain the difference from what I'm gathering. But yes, this eruption, the three species, the northern hawk owl, the boreal owl, those are the two smaller ones, and then of course the big great gray owl, are all three owl species that likely left the tundra or the boreal forest due to the lemming population. Maybe it crashed. Maybe some of these owls also did well last year in their breeding, and so there was more individuals that had to leave to find food. That I'm not sure if scientists will ever be able to confirm, but we know that these owls are down in northeastern Minnesota looking for food. And over the last few months, due to the crunchy snow that we had, most of the owls that came were using the Highway 61 corridor or these county roads that would, you know, run perpendicular for hunting purposes. And so it was drawing lots of tourism to these roads specifically to see the owls that were there hunting along the highway or the roadway.
Yeah, well, apparently there's kind of like a sweet spot where you don't have too much snow, but you have enough snow that the owls have prey that's under the snow. If you don't have enough snow, you don't even have that phenomena of the rodents going under the snow.
Right, they won't use that snow to nest and stay warm. So the species of the tundra that maybe cruised through this area and went to more open areas in the southern part of Minnesota would be the snowy owl. Wow. And so because they're from the tundra, which is no trees, they need open plains for hunting. So I presume we will start to see them come back through the area as they fly north.
Yes.
maybe March, April, May.
In years past, I've always seen them before spring hits full on, and I've always wondered why I'm seeing them for this short time period. And that's it. They're on their way back.
Yep.
So they may have come the furthest, the species that are coming from the tundra, maybe more than 1,000 miles journey.
Yep, and I don't know if that eruption is like they have seen or if snowy owls follow a different pattern. But of course, the ones that get the big press is the great gray. And that was amazing to know that 20 years ago, they had about 100 patients that were brought into the Raptor Center. This year, it's been less than 20. But for us on the North Shore that have only been up here a few years, this is a great event and has been, a learning opportunity.
Well, certainly there is that question, aside from actual fatalities from, encountering people in cars, the question of whether too much attention and getting too near to them in our observation can be maybe inhibiting them. Because I think we're mostly hearing about the casualties who get hit by cars, but could it be that they don't get enough time for hunting? They have a hard time making it through the whole winter?
That's absolutely the fear. And there are some local owls that have literally people following them every hour of the day.
Yeah.
And there's dogs close by. These owls aren't afraid of people because they're from the boreal forest where there aren't people, there aren't roadways. But we are inevitably affecting their hunting strategy or their prey. So that part of it is the most concerning to me. And I'm not sure if we can confirm that, but...
Yeah, it's part of that question about we need people to be fascinated and in love with nature in order to want to protect it for future generations. But sometimes we can get carried away.
When we're driven by just taking a photo, it's not even, I don't even see people just sitting and observing them quietly like we did pre-camera, whether it's a phone camera or a long lens photo. It's like it's just driving people to keep pursuing these animals, and I've never seen anything like it, but it's also given me a lot of perspective for places around the world that have been dealing with something like this for a long time.
Well, charismatic species attracting a lot of attention, almost a paparazzi kind of following. Well, Michaela, I appreciate the notes on the time of the year, the baby raising that's imminent, and there's some other events that are put on by people that I would like to give you a chance to talk about.
Yeah.
We have a big event at your park this week, and there is really fun events happening at our local library, too.
Yes, I will inform you all about our wonderful candlelight event that's occurring February. It'd be Saturday the 15th, so coming right up. The event starts at 6 o'clock. You can come to the visitor center to kind of start the event if you'd like, but there's trails, many trails, ski trails, walking trails, going throughout the whole park that will be lit up. If you'd like to make your way down to the Lady Slipper Lodge for a fire, if you'd like to come find me, I'll be roving in the visitor center and along the falls taking photos and interacting with folks. So I'd love to see
you. Is there a website with a Where's Mick function on it?
No.
You're not GPS tagged?
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I don't know that it'd be great for you. It just occurred to me that there's only one park naturalist and you have to be on your toes to find them.
Another event I'll be hosting this week will be at the Two Harbors Public Library this Thursday, the 13th at 5 o'clock. Our friend Shelley Getten will also be there to read some nature poetry. This is just an opportunity for folks to come together and to appreciate some poetry. You can bring poems that you have or have not written but would like to read. And this is just a time for some appreciation.
And that, again, is this Thursday. That's, February 13th,
yep,
right?
At 5 o'clock at the library.
If you're listening in on Saturday, you missed it when we repeat this interview.
But
you've missed it, but it's not the last chance?
You can come to the Community Creations Program at the Two Harbors Library on Tuesday the 18th, so you wouldn't have missed that.
Uh-huh.
So that's next week from 4 to 6. Come... be creative. I had a great turnout last month. It was super fun. We had lots of different ages there, and it was just it was a nice time. It was dark outside, but the joy was being felt in the room. I also forgot to tell folks that you can expect to hear the coyotes and the wolves going a little crazy right now. They are also entering their breeding period,
yeah,
or mid-breeding period. And that means you may actually find some urine in the snow marked with blood that would be signaling that there's a female around who is ready to conceive her pups that would be born in the spring. Also, if you feel like you're hearing a ton of coyotes, it's likely only one or two coyotes, and they have evolved a way to sound like a pack, but it's really only one or two individuals. And I know that's going to blow your mind.
No, I very much believe that. Some summers I've had an open window in my house and I could have sworn that there were 30 or 40 coyotes, and I'm getting the impression it might have only been a couple.
Yeah, it's a sibling or two. Like auditory illusion that they can create with their yipping and the way that they change their tones and come in and out of sound. It's just amazing.
Wow. That sounds like a documentary worthy project. I'm just trying to figure this out. So we don't really have packs that large.
No.
At all. They're usually family units of
mm-hmm.
coyotes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a pair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there anything else I haven't asked you about that it's coming to mind? Okay, well, it's okay.
No, back to the snow cover. It was nice out on a walk yesterday. We actually got to see some holes where the grouse had been sleeping in the snow or had just busted out. So, yes, we got that subnivian zone that some of us like to go play and look at. So that has been a fun product of the snow we got in the last few weeks.
Indeed. So we've got some little bit of ground insulation. Not quite clear on how much more moisture we're going to see yet this winter. It's been overall pretty darn dry, but the temperatures are there. Winter conditions for skiing and snowshoeing and getting out where you might see, well, the grouse might pop out of the snow. That'd be a fun treat. And there are nice snowshoeing trails real close to Two Harbors, right off the Fairgrounds Road, if you want to get out there. It's could have 6 or 8 weeks left, no matter what that guy Phil in Pennsylvania said, folks. Anything else, Michaela?
No, let's carry on, and I'll be back in March, hopefully bring you some more exciting programs.
Yeah, absolutely, and I hope you're on the mend from the crud that recently got to you. I appreciate you coming in today, and of course, we will see you again on the radio soon. We're going to try to look at coming back the second Tuesday of each month to record, folks, so we'll keep you posted on that. And I forgot to say at the beginning, it is...
Wandering Nature News.
Bingo. Kayla Rice, they're the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, and I'm Leo, here for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio.